I had a client where I put out a quote and it had something in it that they said, if this is our company felt, if we couldn't change the terms, we would lose the deal. It was a really big deal. So I came up with a question. I said, it seems like if I can't remove this from the quote, you don't even want me to requote, even if I can give you wins in other areas. And he didn't really answer me directly. So I said it really friendly. I said, okay, I get what you're saying, but if I can't change this one thing, even if I can give you wins all over the place in other areas, it's just not even worth requoting. I think that's what you're saying. And finally he said, no, requote anyway. So I knew that that wasn't a deal breaker, and that was massive. Our whole company said, this is one of our most important deals. If we don't remove this restriction,
listen to that,
we're going to lose it.
Wow.
And he had turned out that he said, so I wanted him to correct me. So I was saying, so it doesn't even seem like I should requote. I wanted him to say, no, you're wrong. And then I also wanted him to get the note. So it was kind of working on a few different levels, kind of trapping him in a little bit. And when he said that, I said, okay. So I requote with that restriction, gave him a couple of tiny little wins here and there so he could feel good. And the deal came through, and no one from all senior management in our company thought of that idea of doing that. And then he had one other quick thing, not to take your time, but he was focused that if we don't talk, business people, but engineers talk, they could figure it out. And I said, well, it sounds like if the engineers talk, you have more confidence there. And he said, yes, that's what's got to be done. I said, okay, if that's what he wants, give it to him. I already know the engineer, and the answer is no. But he didn't know that. So I said, all right, so I'll put on a detail where it says, and you can talk about this, and we could change the deal if the results change. I know they're not going to change because it's terrible. But it also got him to say, okay, that was a concession, and that's what he was focused on. And it worked really well. It was a massive, massive deal.
You illustrated several things that I've been trying to highlight over the past 5 weeks that we've been together. And your story does so probably better than any didactic lecture that I can promote. You had guys or people within your organization that said, we gotta change these terms or we're gonna lose the deal. And you took what we talked about, for every like, there's an opposite dislike that you can label. For every non-agreement, there's an opposite agreement that you can label. That's exactly what they did with Tractor Man back in 2003, whenever it was, when he drove his tractor to the National Mall and threatened to blow up some landmarks. The words out of his mouth were, you're not going to handcuff me. The words out of the negotiator's mouth said was similar to what you said. It sounds like if we don't handcuff you, you'll come out. That's basically what you told them in your discourse. You preyed on the law of negotiation gravity that dealt with the power of correction. You used it to your advantage, and a deal that looked like it was on the precipice of blowing up in your face turned in your favor because you stayed in the moment and you knew that there was something else that was motivating the pushback on those certain terms. So I applaud you for that. I think that's freaking ninja stuff right there. That's nothing to sneeze at. And don't downplay it as, I was just, doing my best and all that. That's phenomenal work. Troy, what did you want to add?
When you did what you did under the laws of negotiation gravity, you even had to deal with your own company with their fear of loss. And you stayed the course. You had confidence in what you were doing. I don't know if you had that from other low stakes, practice, but when it actually mattered, you stayed the course and you did the techniques, and it's an overwhelming success.
You're right. The confidence came from the question. The question, I thought of one question that I thought was really good, and the question was so good that it gave me confidence, because I said, look, if he corrects me and says, No, you're wrong. You need to quote that with that anyway. I had everything I needed. If the question wasn't as good, and it took a long time to think of it, to be honest, but if the question wasn't as good, I would not have been that confident. I said, let me just try this. I'm going to call him. I'm going to tell him this. If he says it has to be on there or don't bother requoting, then we got our answer and we have to make a choice. But if he says no, I know exactly what I can do. And I got lucky he said no. But the question itself helped for the confidence.
It's more than luck. That's what I mean by dismissing or minimizing or diminishing what you accomplished with that. And you've referred to it twice as a question. When you gave me the example, both times it was a label. And so that tells me that you have taken the idea of turning an actual what, how, where, when, why question into an asking label, which is huge. That's advanced stuff. That's stuff that we're not even going to really cover in detail until we get into advanced tools for tactical empathy, which is the next series in this online training. And you're doing it now, and you're doing it with relative ease. You're doing it with relative with a relative skill set of somebody that's been doing this for much longer. Marcella, did you have anything?
So what I'm hearing is you might not have had trust in how the dynamic of the situation, how the situation was going to turn out, but I do hear trust in the tools that you've used. And that's what got you the success, was that you trusted that asking label and went with it and then let it guide you to the next asking label, because you had two asking labels that I heard. Good job.
The guy hates us. I'll just be honest with you. The guy hates us. He takes business from us whenever he can. He has no respect for us. So he wants a confrontation all the time. So I just stayed really calm because I don't want to give him a memory of a confrontation. Everyone else that's competing is going to belittle him and make him feel insignificant. And I just said, yep, I'll see what I can do so that he'd have no negative memories. And then hit him with kind of a trapping question.
Yeah, so a couple of things. First of all, what Marcelo said is absolutely true. And when I put her on the phone for her first ever hostage negotiation, she had nothing to fall back on as far as experience was concerned. All she had to fall back on, like you in the moment, was her training. And she sat down at the phone set up with a great big thick book from her days in the academy learning hostage negotiation, and that's what she fell back on. So the moral to her story, her comments, is stick to your training. Your training will never fail you if it's executed. The second thing is, you want to be cautious. You know, we're 5 sessions into this now, and I'm going to be a bit more picky with you as we move forward. When we get to the advanced class, I'm going to be a lot more picky. And so be careful about framing your thought process with formulating questions to quote trap. Now, I caution you on it, because that's the kind of mindset that will betray your outer voice if you're not careful. And so we're looking not to trap, we're looking to create a collaborative mindset. That's it. And if you start thinking of it in terms of trapping, you're starting to look at the other side as the adversary, as opposed to whatever the issue is that you guys are trying to resolve. That is your adversary. Your mindset should be, how do I turn this person on the other side of the phone table, Zoom call from me, into a teammate in a problem solving venture? So just be very careful about thinking about these things as trapping techniques. But again, what else was huge? You knew this guy was a jerk. He's been a jerk to you forever and a day. You could have easily let your perception of him seep into the conversation and undermine it, blow it up, but you didn't. And so I only point that out because when we talk about tactical empathy, it's not about liking or agreeing with the other side. It's just about you demonstrating that you get where they're coming from. You're more concerned about their frame of reference early in the conversation than you are about your own. And to your point, other people who are competing are going to belittle this guy. They're going to confront this guy. They're going to compete with this guy. They're going to make him combative. And you could have done the same way, same thing, because he's done it to you, but you didn't. And that is huge. This one feedback on this one conversation almost captures every single element that I've been trying to impart upon you guys since the beginning of our time together. It's huge. So again, Troy did it. I will applaud you as well. Nicely done, Ken.